I'll be home for Christmas. You can plan on me. Please have snow and mistletoe.
Welcome to Show 3 of Integral Life's teleseminar, Love, Not War, Going Home for the Holidays. I'm David Reardon, and I'm your host tonight as we bring you the third show in our five-part Home for the Holidays series. Tonight, we are going to hear Huy Lam's reflections on the focus practices Coach Susan Hodges gave him last week and reveal the second focus practice she will give him tonight. This show is the last one before Huy actually goes home for the holidays, so whatever he's going to get from this coaching process, tonight's the night. Welcome, Huy.
Hey, David. Great to be here. And one welcome as well to all of our listeners.
Huy, nice to hear your voice. And welcome, Susan.
Hi, David. Hi, Huy. Hello, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here again.
So in this third coaching session, you two are going to dive deeply into the how of Huy making use of everything he got last week when he goes home. His current metaphor depicting his don't worry, be happy way of being with his family when he goes home, and his new way, the deep sea diver of others' interiors, as well as his practices, are all going to come into play tonight. And as we will hear, this is not easy work sometimes. Old habits and patterns are hard things to change, as we all know, and there's always a tension between who we've been up until now and who we are longing to become. And of course, the relationship between client and coach sometimes gets to reflect this tension directly during coaching conversations. So Susan, let me start with you. Can you give us like a quick summary as Huy's coach about what you do to prepare for this third session? I mean, you really are going to push into Huy's topic with him. Is this the session where he figures out what he actually is going to do about relating with his family in a healthier way during the holidays?
I approach this third conversation very differently than I did the other two. And so the tone of this conversation would set the stage for the tone that I would use in any subsequent coaching conversations were we to continue. So I'm looking with keen awareness of Huy's developmental edge as he attempts to be more authentic with his family. And this coaching conversation and the practice that he did leading up to it, they were designed to work his edge with sufficient support. So we start with shining a light on Don't Worry, Be Happy, his current way of relating to his family, especially how it's holding Huy back from succeeding in his topic. And in this call, you'll experience the inherent tension that all clients encounter when they realize change involves letting go of familiar ways of being. So my role is to both challenge Huy and support him in working through that initial tension, which can show up as resistance, but it's not usually full-blown resistance by this point. And so our hope is to help him evolve more skillful ways of fulfilling his intentions.
Right. Well, thanks, Susan. We're going to obviously hear a lot more about that as we get into the details of your third session with Huy tonight. So, and Huy, this is your final session with Susan before you actually head home for the holidays. Were you feeling any pressure to get something tangible from Susan in this third session that would, you know, really help you work with the two metaphors and the initial practice that she gave you last week?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't actually say I was feeling pressure because, you know, I was too busy not worrying and being happy. but seriously, in regards to this third session, one of the things that I was feeling is that after the first couple of sessions, I felt that I had a lot more awareness around why my topic existed and, you know, how I was contributing to it. At the same time, going through the practice, you know, that deepened that, but then there was this question to me of, okay, so just because I have better insight, how is that really going to be different when I go home? Because, you know, what does that actually translate for me? I'm always interested in what am I going to do? You know, that's I always push to, okay, what am I going to, how am I going to behave differently? Mm-hmm. And so for me, there was a strong desire to figure out what that is. You know, what is it I'm going to do differently? And I'm blessed that I'm going to be able to do it when it, you know, kind of gets right down to it. Mm-hmm. And the other thing was that tension that we've been speaking about, you know, kind of feeling this tension between, okay, I really do want things to be different, but then, oh, it's going to require me to change something. And so you're feeling some of that as well, and at the same time, you know, very much looking forward to going back and testing it out.
Yeah, that change word is a big one for all of us, and as we get into the depth of your topic tonight, I'm sure many in the audience will be able to relate to sometimes how hard this is to do this work. I mean, particularly as it relates to our relationships with the people that are closest to us, our families. So before we start exploring what happened between Susan and Hui in this session, I need to do some housekeeping before we jump into session three. If any of you on the call tonight or those that you have downloaded show three and have not yet listened to show one or two, you can download the recordings for those shows on the Home for Holidays webpage. To access those two recordings, go to integrallife.com and click on the Home for the Holidays medallion on the left-hand side of the homepage, and then follow the links to the show one or show two recording. You will also find the practice that was suggested for all of you to reflect on during this last week between shows two and three, three being tonight, accompanying the show two recording. Also, don't forget we are giving away three integral coaching sessions to one lucky and deserving winner of our Home from the Holidays contest. We need you to submit your personal family story by the end of this week, and then we're going to pick three stories to review next week during show four on December 15th. These stories have to be about the challenges that you face during the holidays with your family members. And we know it can be a little bit scary sometimes to have your written stories shared publicly, but we promise to hold whatever you tell us with the greatest amount of respect. After all, how often do you get a chance to get your story in front of a certified integral coach like Susan and over 800 of your fellow Home for the Holidays participants? Can't imagine why you would be holding back on that one, but we hope that you will take the chance and send it in. You know, after listening to these three stories next week, the audience and the Integral Life staff will then vote and select one as the winner. These three coaching sessions have a $750 value. So if you haven't yet, send us your story for consideration by the end of the week, and you can win this valuable prize. All right, let's get started. And let's first review the practice that we asked you and the audience to consider during the last week. And that went something like this. Reflect on the qualities that best describe how you tend to interact with your family. Examples of these qualities can be disengaged, overly helpful, directive, passive, aggressive, invisible, needing attentions, etc. I think you get the idea. From your list, pick a couple of the qualities on which to focus each day before you go home for the holidays. Begin to notice how these qualities show up elsewhere in your life. Really look for them. Focus particularly on the interactions with others. This practice can be challenging, and as you may be trying to catch onto something about which you may be largely unaware. I know that happens for me sometimes. And then lastly, then at the end of each day, answer the following questions. What was the quality and in what context did it emerge? And then describe that context. What was triggered in you when this quality emerged? In other words, what did you notice about your internal dialogue, emotional state, or somatic response at the time this quality arose? What does this quality provide you? What are the advantages of behaving or acting in this way? Also consider this with the others in your life in addition to yourself. And then, what possibilities does it close down for you when this quality actually comes up? And again, not just for yourself, but for the others in your life as well. And finally, take a moment to acknowledge the care, energy, and the risk you invested by delving into this practice. Because as we've said already tonight, this stuff's not easy. Regardless of the current state of your interactions with your family, we hope this practice helps point out some important clues about what to notice as the myriad of emotions come up for you during the holidays. We also suggest working this practice with people you're already comfortable with before you go home to the larger family. This is a way to really sort of take a low-risk approach for developing these new muscles. And as we'll hear tonight, as we works with his version of this practice, the natural anxiety that can come up from trying something new can be greatly reduced by taking it just a small step at a time, and not trying to change everything about your relationships all at once. And lastly, if you find that receiving feedback from another person would be helpful to really make use of this practice, Time still remains before the holiday to work with an integral coach, so you can visit the Home for the Holidays webpage to take advantage of our special coaching package offer and start working with an integral coach today. So I think that's about it on that. So let's just jump right into it. This is the third and final session before we goes home for the holidays. Here we go. Susan, your job in this third session is to listen to Wee's reflections on the practice you gave him last week and help him get ready to go home for the holidays. Included in that process, you will offer him an additional practice to consider. At this point, you two are really diving deeply into his topic, and the challenges this sometimes entails were evident right from the top of your interaction. Let's listen to the pre-recorded clip where he expresses his concerns about doing the practice that you gave him last week. And for the audience, as we listen to this first interchange, I want to remind you that as we're listening to these pre-recorded clips from the actual session between Susan and we, for the sake of time, we have tightly edited the actual conversation to give you just an idea of what it sounds like. In an actual coaching session, the pace of the interchange is much more leisurely. It allows for more time for both we and Susan to reflect on what is emerging and being co-created between them. So with that in mind, here is the opening interaction in tonight's third coaching session between Hui and Susan.
So Hui, how did the practice go?
It went pretty well. It was challenging answering some of the questions on the weekly exercise part.
Mm-hmm.
Just in terms of looking at, you know, some of the patterns and themes, I was able to come up with a couple, but then what did these themes suggest about my beliefs? I don't know what they suggest, you know, in terms of ability to access my own anger in relationship with my family. What do these themes reinforce about significance and me being fully present in my family? Just nothing comes up for me when I look at those questions to think about it. I'm like, I don't know.
So you were having difficulty kind of tapping into some underlying beliefs. You were able to notice some behaviors, but maybe not be able to understand what's motivating it so much. Is that what you mean?
Well, then there's the question of what do these themes suggest about your beliefs, how I access my own anger in relationship to my family.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not sure what they suggest.
So if those of you in the audience want to see the actual written practice that Susan gave we last week that they're talking about in this beginning of this pre-recorded clip, you can find that link posted behind the Show 3 medallion on the Home for the Holidays webpage. Right under the Show 3 title, there's a link that says Susan's written practices for we. If you click on that, you'll actually get to see the written practice that they're talking about. So Susan, we've already mentioned that the challenges can come up for both the client and coach at this point in the coaching process. What was your reaction to what we said in the clip that we just listened to?
Yeah. Okay, so as we've discussed in the previous two shows, each conversation and then each practice we develop helps both of us, Hui and I, learn what Hui has access to and what he doesn't in his topic. So throughout this process, I continue relating to Hui with beginner's mind. And I'm, as I said earlier, I'm hoping to experience his developmental edge live in the very moment he becomes aware of it. So in other words, from a developmental perspective, what Hui was able to notice is just as significant as what he struggles to notice. And in this case, Hui and I both experienced weakness in his muscle for tuning into Don't Worry, Be Happy's way of seeing. So it's easier for him to observe actions and energetic states than it is for him to understand the implicit values and emotions that determine how he shows up in relationships. So Hui's answer guided how I chose to shape the rest of my inquiry so as to strengthen those muscles. And the more Hui is able to discern Don't Worry, Be Happy's way of going and seeing and checking, the less of a grip it will have on him when he goes home for the holidays, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So remember in our last call, I talked about each of us having a particular way that we see or perceive. And from that, then ways that we act or speak, and we call that our way of going, and then ways to check out how things are going. So each of us tends to favor paying attention in one of these ways. So Hui mostly gets informed by his way of going. He gets intimate. His getting intimate with his way of seeing is really important so that he can then be informed by this silent driver of behaviors when he does head home.
And Susan, like we've been saying tonight, or at least I've said so far, this is fairly typical at this point that, that these kind of questions would come up for him?
Well, for Hui, again, I'm really working at the developmental edge for every client. So,
right.
So yeah, it, depending upon what that edge is, those questions will arise.
Right. Okay. So we, when Susan asks you for some more concrete examples of you applying the practice, you tell her a story about your mother interacting with your wife about some medical issues concerning your son. You describe a sense of tightness in your solar plexus area as you consider this interaction between them, and then you talk about something else you notice. Let's listen to the pre-recorded clip where this happens and how Susan reacts to something else she has noted about your communications in the last two sessions.
Almost felt like energetically, like I have a almost like a shield or a wall that wants to come up.
There's that infamous laugh again.
I guess so.
Is that part of Don't Worry, Be Happy?
Well, I guess if I had to say something about it, it would probably be some part of me that finds it amusing that it's easier to make light of some of the challenges rather than to face them, I guess.
Yeah, what I'm tapping into is just the deep compassion of how hard it is to know how to navigate these challenges, you know, to not want to, and then to not know how to necessarily.
Yeah, and I think that one of the aspects that I learned that I was going to talk about later on in terms of Don't Worry, Be Happy, the themes, is that in many ways, Don't Worry, Be Happy doesn't even acknowledge that there's a challenge in the first place.
Exactly.
So, how did you feel about Susan's response right there?
Yeah, I think her response really helped me to connect in that moment, you know, as by her pointing out my laughing when I would actually share something that is apparently a challenge, you know, that's a difficult situation, yet why am I laughing? And I think that was a, you know, kind of a moment for me just to recognize, oh, there's my current way of showing up, and, you know, it's something challenging, and yet I'm laughing at it, and there's, you know, like, don't worry about it, and just be happy. And so, and, you know, the one thing that was still, you know, like, working on me in terms of just hearing her say that there's a, you know, kind of an aspect of having compassion around the difficulty and facing that for myself, and I think that was something that I was, you know, trying to integrate and let that sink in because it was something that I hadn't considered before.
Right. Yeah, I get that. So, Susan, as you continue to explore the results of the practice with Hui, you seem to sense that the difficulty of Hui's entire topic needs to be surfaced again. Let's listen to this next pre-recorded clip as you ask him about this and then what is revealed in his answer.
Where were you sensing inside of you that this is a live issue that is ready to be looked at? How did you know that?
Yeah, I think that, you know, a couple ways. I mean, one, you know, in terms of the experience I had in that story I shared with my mother or some of the, you know, memories of some of my previous visits to my family. But in terms of inside of me, what I felt was, I guess there was probably like a kind of a feeling of, you know, a sadness in my body, you know, maybe in my heart area, and the feeling of being held back in some way.
It sounds a little different than the tension that you described in the solar plexus area. But is there, if you go back into that body sensation, are they similar in some ways, or are they different?
Well, in the moment, the feeling in the solar plexus area, there's more an urgent sense of urgency. Like maybe it's connected a little bit more to being, you know, like the feeling of anger or irritation in the moment, you know?
Okay.
Impatience. And so the feeling of this topic didn't necessarily feel that hot, so to speak, you know? Like it wasn't that intense necessarily.
Okay.
But, you know, in moments it is, but in terms of thinking about the topic as a whole, you know, on a day-to-day basis, it doesn't feel like that to me.
Yeah. What is the sad energy like?
It's pretty subtle, be honest. It just feels like I'm compromising, and it just feels like I'm not able to, it feels like perhaps there's something missing, you know, there's something more that could be had, and that, I don't know how to describe it.
Susan, you then ask Hui about what he thinks of himself when he's feeling sad. You seem to sense that some of what is going on with Hui is him feeling that he's not living up to something, although that something is not particularly defined. Let's listen to the next pre-recorded clip where he begins answering your question, Susan, and then you notice something else. There's a change in his tone. Let's listen.
Yeah, there's a question about internal conversations. And, you know, once again, I think it's kind of the automatic one to happen, but there's this sense of, well, wanting to move on, or, oh, this isn't that big of a deal. So let's just move on, or, you know, whatever this is, let's just fix it as quickly as possible and figure it out as quickly as possible and move on to something else.
What's happening internally with you right now? I'm hearing a different tone in your voice, and I heard it when you said, come on, let's just move on. This isn't a big deal. Let's fix this as soon as possible.
Yeah, so I was just sharing that is one of the themes I noticed that happens when, particularly when I have, kind of a set expectation of what I want to have happen.
Right.
And so I was just sharing kind of a story about that.
I'm hearing an edge. I heard a different edge in your voice when you were saying those words, and I'm just wondering what the emotion is that's in the edge.
I guess what I'm trying to with the story that I'm, or what I'm talking about, the that goes on with expectation is like the sense of this impatience and, you know, the like wanting to make things happen is, you know, if I have a picture and a clear idea of, like, okay, this is what I want to have happen, that I want it to happen as quickly as possible with as little resistance as possible.
So, you know, as I listen to these last two clips, I could be wrong about this, but it seems like that both of you are struggling a bit to sort of get in sync with each other. When I say it sounds like you're struggling, is that the way you felt, or is there something else in play here? I mean, Susan, let's start with you, and then I'd like to hear your reflections on that.
Okay. I was hoping to elicit an emotion out of him, and so I was checking for what he has access to. So it's natural for clients' current ways of being to appear in the coaching conversations, right? Those
mm-hmm.
muscles are the strongest. So it's normal for them in this early phase to have the current way showing up. And so I was sensing that here's the current way, and don't worry, be happy is having a hard time tapping into a challenging emotion.
Yeah.
My intuition was that don't worry, be happy was making an appearance through your tone. And I wanted to explore that possibility further in hopes of deepening your ability to notice how it was arising and when and why. So as I said, I was aware of an edge in your tone and the content of what you were saying. That when you face a challenge, at times it's easier to not acknowledge it and to move on as quickly as possible. And I wanted to know if you could access the emotion underneath your impatience. Perhaps anger, I'm thinking. Maybe not. But by asking you to dive deeper into unknown territory, I knew that I was challenging Don't Worry, Be Happy's preference to not acknowledge the challenge, this challenge, and to move on as quickly as possible. So my hope was to balance perturbing the space with lending support so that you might risk taking a dive into the own with me in that moment, thereby stretching the muscles of a deep sea diver of others' interiors. So I'm curious, Hui, what were you aware of in this exchange?
Yeah, and that was a interesting moment for me as well. Because I thought as you asked me that previous question and I was sharing the story with you, what came up for me was I was actually trying to embody that impatience that I was feeling when I was speaking with my family. So I was trying to embody that in the moment with you. Not that I was feeling it with you. It was more like I was just trying to embody that to give you an idea. And so when you asked me about that, it was kind of hard for me in that moment to reflect on, okay, well, what else is that? I thought I was just trying to show you how I was impatient, and I wasn't clear on the question. And so I think that was part of my way of showing up, that part of me was just wanted to say, are you trying to say something else there? Why don't you just say it? Like, are you seeing something and I'm not seeing? Why don't you just spit it out and let me say yes or no, or, you know, because I was actually feeling impatient in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and of course, as I'm reflecting upon it now and hearing your response, it kind of was like, oh, okay, I see. So that's what you were trying to get to. Like, what's underneath that is there's the impatience, is there's perhaps a sense of urgency, and that the urgency isn't being met, so there's an emotion of anger that I'm not quite sure how to express.
Mm.
So that's only something that I'm able to get actually right now as I'm listening to you. It's actually occurring to me, and not at the time, though.
Yeah, so in the moment, it's really hard to access. Especially.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I noticed the surface emotion. Like, okay, I'm impatient.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And then, but when you say, well, what's underneath that, for me, it's more of a cognitive answer, like,
right.
Oh, what's underneath that? I wanted something to happen, and it doesn't seem to be happening the way I wanted it to be, so I'm impatient for it to happen.
Right, the story. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Wee.
Well, I think we can, those of us in the audience can relate to this being in the moment versus reflecting afterwards. I mean, it's, you know, how many times do we go through this where you, you know, you get away from the interaction and you go, oh my goodness, I mean, this is that and the other thing. So important to develop that skill of being in the moment, Susan, that you're talking about, but certainly understand the challenge way. So thank you both for giving us a little bit more about what was going on for both of you at that point. So, Susan, at this point, you begin to explore what we does when he begins feeling uncomfortable. You ask him what state he wants to return to when that happens, and he answers that he wants it to be peaceful and good and with no real issues, you know, coming up. And you then ask him about how he knows that is the right move to make at that point and what part it plays in Don't Worry, Be Happy. So I thought this was interesting. Let's listen to the next pre-recorded clip where this all takes place and how he responds when you ask him about how he's feeling in the moment with you.
What are you checking to discern that that's the best move to make a unilateral decision to don't worry and to be happy, to get everybody on board to just relax, or for you to pull out energetically?
What am I checking?
How do you know that's the best move?
How do I know? I don't know if that's necessarily the best move at any given moment, but I guess when it comes up that I, you know, that I want to move in that direction, I guess there's a feeling that I don't want to be feeling.
Uh-huh.
So there's something that I don't want to feel that I'd rather go to something else. You know, so there's some feeling of discomfort or anxiety or irritation or not knowing or that feels uncomfortable, and so I know that I want to move to feeling something different.
Yeah. What are you feeling in this moment right now with me?
Just curious, you know, and just feeling, you know, somewhat challenged, just trying to listen to your questions and trying to reflect upon my own process. It's not all totally clear to me because it's a lot of what I take for granted. So
yeah, sure.
But, you know, I just feel like I'm trying to apply a lot of effort right now.
Yeah.
To answer the questions.
Yeah, I feel your presence with me, and I want to thank you for that, especially knowing that Don't Worry, Be Happy wants to kind of pull back from intensity, and I'm kind of bringing it in there.
Yeah.
So you continue to talk about how you're feeling in these moments, but then Susan asks you how you verify what is happening with the other person that you're interacting with. So let's add this part, but let's listen to the next pre-recorded exchange where you guys explore how these feelings arise in the metaphors of Don't Worry, Be Happy and the deep sea diver of others' interiors.
How do you verify that that's true for the other person?
I just kind of have a feeling of it based on the way that, by the way that the interaction's going, and it's something I can actually feel energetically, and just by the conversation or the tone of the words or the body language.
Okay. How do you know that they may not have something like their own Don't Worry, Be Happy kicking in to save the day with you?
Yeah, I don't know that.
So there's this energetic sense that you have that you're feeling calm inside. Things are more peaceful. And so therefore, it's okay out there.
Yeah, I suppose that's right.
And then there's this yearning for the deep sea diver who wants to dive into other people's interiors. So where does he arise? Where does that latent yearning to become him arise?
Where does he arise?
Not that he's already, you know, fully embodied in you, but we're describing the current way that you're experiencing a desire to be connected and intimate more authentically. And so don't worry, be happy. He's alive and well. We're shining that light.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we know that there's this other way or presence that's arising or wanting to rise in and through you, the deep sea diver that's wanting to dive into other people's interiors. And yet what we're seeming to get at right now is that don't worry, be happy has a really robust way of checking his own interior, particularly his energy in his solar plexus area, for comfort and peace, and somehow hopes that, or believes, wants to believe, maybe, that everyone is at peace as a result of Don't Worry, Be Happy coming to save the day for everybody. And yet, the deep sea diver is sensing that there's that. And yet, you're sensing that there's, that may not be true now. It's kind of like this way has become suspect, and I'm curious about how you're sensing that it's become suspect.
What did you make of that observation that Susan makes there at the end of that interchange, that as much as Don't Worry, Be Happy wants to believe everything is all right, that the deep sea diver suspects that this may not be true?
Yeah, well, that was definitely a poignant moment for me that I've reflected upon since then. And, you know, the point she made in terms of how, as Don't Worry, Be Happy, I gauge how things are going is there's a sense of, okay, if I'm happy and there's a sense of peace that I can withdraw into myself, that I assume that that's the way it is for people that are involved with me too. And I know that's not true at a cognitive level, but at a kind of more at an emotional level, I think that is true a lot of the times. And so pointing that out in that moment made me really question, like, okay, so how does it show up in my life? And actually since that call, I had an experience just recently where I was speaking with my wife, and she was on the phone calling me from town, and I could tell she was having a challenging kind of a moment with some things that were going on for her. And, you know, I felt an earlier in the morning before she left, we had an interaction that I wasn't happy about, and I could tell that she was unhappy too, and yet there was a feeling in me that I'm not really sure how to engage this right now, and instead just kind of talking about more practical things, like, okay, so you're going to pick up the kids, and I'll do this, and you do this, and not really going into that place of, you know, diving into the emotion that may be underlying what's being said. And so I felt that that was, you know, based on our coaching, it allowed me to see that moment, and even though I didn't actually, I have to admit, I didn't do anything at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But later on when she came home, I did bring it up and say, and, you know, we spoke about it later.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Susan, you then pick up the theme again of when we is relating with other people, that Don't Worry, Be Happy doesn't initiate something. And then, right here, this was interesting, we interrupts with a thought that he's having about the last question you asked him. So you see this reflection thing working again, that you had kind of gone on. He's still thinking about the last question. And then he had something very interesting to say. So let's listen to what we realizes in that moment.
I'm curious about when you're relating with other people, we understand too that Don't Worry, Be Happy doesn't initiate.
Sorry to interrupt you, but then actually I just had this thought about something.
Uh-huh.
On that on the last track that you were
asking
about. I think I recognize that, you know, I was talking about how, so if my daughter, you know, Sky, if we have an in an argument about something. You know, like I'm saying, get you your pajamas, and she doesn't want to, and I'm like, okay, fine. You know, like, and I get upset, and I walk away or something. And later, when I'm putting her to bed, and he says, you know, Daddy, you hurt my feelings. And as I was saying that, when she says that, there's a sense of, okay, you know, when it's that clear and I recognize that's not what I wanted to be doing, mm-hmm. even though earlier I did it and I wasn't aware of it, but when she tells me, then it becomes very clear. So I know that that's not what I want. You know, I know that what I want is to actually let her know that I love her all the time. And so it's clear that there's a gap there. So I become very motivated to show up. And then, but I noticed as I was talking about that one thing that I don't necessarily do then is to say to her, this is why I did that. You know, like I don't share my own process necessarily. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that may or may not be appropriate with a child, but I think it can be, you know, if I communicate it appropriately. But I think that that's also likely shows up, you know, even with Jackie, with my wife, and that if she comes back and says, oh, I felt, you know, I was hurt when you did this, then I am able to acknowledge that and to receive that and to, but how Don't Worry, Be Happy shows up then is even in that circumstance would be, okay, well, you know, I acknowledge what I did, I'm sorry, but even that is actually getting back to Be Happy. And so I don't necessarily go in and say, oh, well, this is why I came up. You know, I probably hurt you because, you know, let's talk about that itself.
That's the riskier move, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's the riskier move, and to me, it probably feels like that's like almost like reopening the wound. You know, not that I necessarily felt like it was a wound in the first place, so it's reopening whatever's uncomfortable that I was avoiding in the first place.
Susan, what do you make of Hui's realization about the interactions with his daughter? Is there something important surfacing for him here?
Yeah, first I just want to say what we heard in Hui's answer about his wife before we listened to the clip, this is a classic example of the aha moments that are arising in this third session.
Right.
So we're really shining a light on Don't Worry, Be Happy, and the reflections are going to come at any time of day. So there's a lot of momentum building. So we're witnessing Hui gain increasing access to both the costs and rewards of operating as Don't Worry, Be Happy in his relationships. So in this example, he's experiencing how this current way of relating with his daughter allows him to avoid discomfort, but paradoxically, he's realizing that by not directly checking in with her as to how she's experiencing his actions, he might also be amplifying her distress and creating tension or mistrust in their relationship, which would then create more tension in him. So what Hui's tuning into here is that it takes moving through that discomfort to establish mutual trust and peace, a move that he was aware of that's natural for the deep sea diver of others' interiors, but not for Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Mm-hmm. Susan, you then ask Hui something that for me seemed like you were noticing what he did with his daughter and then landing it right in the middle of his family of origin, particularly in his relationship with his father. And at the very end, we hear a recurring theme come up again. So let's listen to that pre-recorded exchange.
So how does that differ, or in what way is it similar to how things happen when you interact with your father?
Well, it's different because if he hurts my feelings, you know, by not perhaps acknowledging something I said, or perhaps, you know, like not communicating, simply not communicating at all, that I don't, you know, like I have that same trust that she would.
Yes.
Just, you know, like I have the same trust that she does to say that to me. I don't have that trust with my father to say, you know, you hurt my feelings. And there's even a part of me, even as I say right now, that it feels like, and it almost feels like it's not even, I don't know how to put it, almost feels like it's not even in the realm of something that's possible for me to even say something like that, or that it would do any good, or that I even want to.
What an emotion is coming up? Can you feel into that? What's your gut saying?
Not sure. I mean, it's more like I just kind of feel like I'm digesting things and processing and draw, you know, connections between what we talked about with my daughter and I and my between that and my father and I, the difference. You know, I'm kind of in a, since I feel like I'm exploring something new, so there's a bit of confusion, but I think it's a, you know, it's like a healthy confusion where I kind of feel like I don't have all the answers, you know, where it's like I'm kind of in the beginner's mind, like I don't know place. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling okay with that, but that also makes it hard for me to, you know, speak clearly about how I'm feeling because I feel like it's new territory in some ways.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a big stretch. And don't worry, be happy. Really, really helps bring balance when things feel really, really big, like big emotional stretches that are challenging.
Yeah, I guess so. That makes sense.
Especially,
I guess that probably has to do with the laughs then.
Especially with significant.
You know, what's that?
Yes, especially with significant relationships like your dad and your mom, and let alone your daughter and your wife.
So we, did this feel like a big emotional stretch to you at that moment?
Yes, it did. And in fact, I think Susan was starting to point to something that in some ways I wasn't even able to fully integrate or in terms of really access, and pointing out this, how I'm able to interact with my daughter and how I'm able to be available for her, and the type of trust that she has to be able to come to me and say, you know, Dad, you hurt my feelings. And that, and actually Susan pointing that out made me really appreciate the fact that she is able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Susan skillfully drops in, okay, well, how does that compare then to the way I relate to my family and particularly with my father? And I think the stretch for me was that even able to compare, like, okay, that type of trust in the relationship, that type of intimacy, it doesn't even, like I said, in a way feel like, is that even possible with my father? And, you know, and reflecting upon it since then, there is a sense that, you know, and thinking about it, how have I, you know, just reflecting on how I've related to my father, you know, since I can remember. And a part of me just kind of thinking, well, this is just the way it is. And now considering, well, is it necessary that way? And can it be different? And, you know, it is challenging for me to possibly acknowledge, like, oh, there's a longing for it to be different. Because without knowing how it can be different, it you know, can even feel too painful to even to say, I wish it were different. You know, I would like to be closer to my father.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, it was a stretch, and yet at the same time, I feel that it's opening up a possibility for something new, you know, to be created.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a tough one. Susan, you start talking to Wee about making a move with the deep sea diver and developing a new muscle in a compassionate way. And you ask him where he goes in the moment with another human being. And Wee responds that it depends on the circumstance. So let's listen to that pre-recorded interchange between the two of you.
So what's happening in that moment? What's alive for you when you're standing there and you're receiving this emotion-laden information from somebody that you care about?
You mean initially?
Yeah. Where do you go? The walls come up. Don't worry, be happy comes up. I'm experiencing an emotion-laden material right now from this other human being.
Well, the interesting thing is sometimes, yeah, it kind of depends on the circumstance. And sometimes the walls come up, definitely, and I feel like I want to, you know, move on to be happy. And there's other times when I actually feel like I am receiving it, and the walls aren't coming up, but it takes a while to process it. So it's more like I'm receiving it, but I don't know what to give from that. You know, if I'm receiving, but I don't know what to offer back. So that's why it was relevant to some of the questions you're asking, because I feel like I'm receiving what you're offering. But then when you ask questions to come back, I feel like I feel like I'm just letting things in. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So is there an assumption that you need to offer them something, like a solution for them?
Well, I mean, in this moment, you're asking me questions, so I feel like, yes, I have to offer something back.
Yeah. What about offering what's live for you in that moment?
Yeah, but that's what I'm trying to offer. What's alive for me is that I'm receiving. So I feel like I'm thinking about it. I'm letting it sink in. That's what's alive for me. But then when you ask about more emotions or meanings or implications, I'm not sure yet.
I think it's really important to notice where you receive that information. Is the energetic feeling that I'm having, is that it's kind of going, it's like, Don't Worry, Be Happy has this catcher's mitt up in the head. Kind of catches the information and keeps it there.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It seems like the initial processing place is there for sure. I think maybe that's part of why I was saying that it takes time for me to let it take in, because maybe there's the catcher's mitt in the head of Don't Worry, Be Happy receives it there and then takes some time for it to sink further down. And then that's when I feel like, oh, okay, now I'm able to integrate with what I received and then be able to offer something back.
Yeah, so what's happening energetically for you, though? That's the thought pattern that goes on.
Yeah.
Energetically, the picture that I'm getting is that you're energetically pulling out. Like I'm pulling
it's
inside.
Like, yeah, exactly.
I'm pulling out. I'm going inside here. Everything's quiet inside. I've mobilized Don't Worry, Be Happy, and things are calm.
So, Susan, did you feel you were getting to something important here?
Yes. Layer by layer, we're feeling more deeply into Don't Worry, Be Happy's constraints. So we're feeling Hui's confusion and his bravery as he encounters his edge. So he's not only experiencing his struggle to remain present in the face of difficult emotions as they arise in him and in others, but he's also feeling challenged to name what's happening to him, in him and in them. And so if that wasn't enough to digest, the next developmental leap would involve his being able to skillfully intervene in the heat of his family crucible. So the significance of these clips is that Hui's really getting that the deep-sea diver of others' interiors needs access to a sophisticated repertoire of muscles that Don't Worry, Be Happy currently lacks. And the beauty of realizing this gap now is that it affords him a chance to set some more realistic expectations for how he might show up and engage his family when he goes home for the holidays. And the beauty of this coaching process is that it honors all that Hui's current way of being, Don't Worry, Be Happy, has allowed for up until this point, while also recognizing the clear need to transcend those qualities and embrace new qualities that would allow him to realize his desire for intimate connections with his family.
Yeah, it does both things. You're sure right about that. So you then ask we to acknowledge that the practice that he did in this last week was with his immediate family, with his wife and with his two kids, and not the family of origin that he is more challenged by, that includes both his mother and father. You respond by agreeing that it will be more challenging, even as the deep sea diver, and although you can notice what is happening from that perspective, you still don't know what to do about it in the moment, what to do. So, Susan, you suggest that it may be time for you to offer we the second focus practice, which is the second one that comes in this third session. So I'm just going to be interested to see how this all goes, because you tell we to a certain extent you feel that the deep-sea diver is already emerging in him, and like all new practices, he knows enough to take it in small steps so that he won't withdraw from diving into the deep water that you're asking him to go into. And you like this image of staying in the depth of your experience. So you feel it will potentially give you, as you were saying before, some new possibilities of interacting with your family. And if you folks in the audience want to see the second written focus practice that Susan is offering at this point, you can find the link to it behind the show 3 medallion, as you did with the first one. So Susan, you begin to share the second practice with Lee. I mean, you actually ask him at the beginning of each day to stand with his feet as shoulders width apart, and feel into the purpose of taking dives into his family members' interiors. And let's listen to the pre-recorded clip where you detailed the second part of the practice, where you suggest something that you want him to do. And towards the end of that interchange, Weef raises an interesting question about how he's supposed to do what you're asking. And that brings up an interesting response from you. So let's listen to that.
I'd just like for you to look that person gently in the eyes and just say the following. I'm wondering if you're facing a particular challenge today and if I might be able to offer some kind of support.
So that's what I would say?
Mm-hmm. And then all I'd invite you to do is just listen intently to what this person says in response. And as you're listening, just notice the extent to which your energy shifts towards this person or away from this person.
Okay.
And then notice...
I figured what you said about noticing whether my energy shifts towards or away from the person. I think that's a good way of... that's something that would be good for me to reflect upon. It's even a good way for me to think about it.
Yeah, great. We want to really see to what extent does don't worry, be happy step in to kind of tone down any discomfort that might be present in you or even in that other person that you might be sensing. You know, and when you're looking into somebody else's eyes, it can, even though it might be brief, maybe a sense of intimacy there that can create a sense of discomfort for both of you. It could be awkward. And so we don't know if that's the case, but we're just going to watch to see if how or if don't worry, be happy kind of comes in to tone that down a bit. And then if you can, I'd like for you to just offer empathy. And if that person says, yeah, you know, you can do this for me, I'd like for you to just see if you can offer that to them. And then thank them. Thank this person for sharing his or her concern with you and for allowing you to be of support.
So the only thing that comes up for me when I think about that practice, it seems like there would have to be some particular opening for me even to say that in the first place. Like if, like I'm visualizing like my brother or my sister and we're talking about stuff, and you know, there would have to be an opening for me even to say, you know, what is concerning you today, or is there something that you're concerned about, and how can I support you? That they would have to have mentioned something, right? If they're just saying, oh, I had a great time, we're partying, you know, we were just talking about, you know, about circumstances of what, they're not giving me an opening, then, you know, it feels like it requires some opening, right? That they would have already had to offer something that I would have, they would have had to, like, give me some type of a hint that there is something concerning them first.
How do we know that's true?
Huh?
How do we know that's true?
I don't know that's true. I'm just saying that's what it feels like to me.
Yeah. So where do you get that feeling? Don't worry, be happy coming in and saying, uh-oh, that feels disturbing for me. If that person's not giving me an in, I am not going to dive in.
So I can relate to the question that you asked Susan during that interchange, and she's trying to get you to connect with your family members in a deeper way about what may be challenging them, and you for the moment don't seem quite sure how to language that given your history with them. Could you at this point, given what Susan was pointing out, actually imagine yourself saying something different to family members than you had in the past?
Well, I mean, what I was conveying to Susan was that I couldn't actually imagine myself saying what she was asking me to say.
Mm-hmm.
And picturing realistically, the interactions that I, you know that I have with my family, it kind of just feels to me like this is coming out of left field or coming out of the blue, just to say, you know, if I'm just interacting with them about the typical things we might talk about over the holidays, you know, just family things and kids and, you know, whatever stuff that's going on with work, and just out of the blue, you know, sitting on the couch and say, oh, so is there anything that you're concerned with today, anything that you're challenged by that I can offer you support on right now? To me, that felt like, you know, like, huh, I don't really see that happening. and yet at the same time, there was, you know, like I appreciated the intention of
inquiring into how I might offer support. But to me, it felt like I would need some kind of a clue that they actually are looking for support, or that there is something that they might need support in the first place. So, yeah, it was, you know, it felt like too big of a stretch to engage it the way that Susan presented it to me at that point in time.
Right. So, Susan, you obviously hear Wee questioning whether he's going to be able to do what you've asked him to consider when he goes home for the holidays. In this next pre-recorded clip, you actually explore with him how he might make the task just a little less scary. Let's listen to that.
So what we're asking in this exercise, we're challenging you to perturb the space a bit, not in a high risk. We're asking you to perturb the waters by diving in a little bit. But back up, it's curious to me. Before you go home for the holidays, you'll be in this practice with friends and colleagues and maybe your wife or even your kids. And I was hoping that I invited you to take some low-risk situations first to kind of build into the experience so that when you go home, it doesn't feel like, wow, I'm perturbing my space for the first time. I'm like taking this huge dive right now. You can imagine that would feel pretty overwhelming. But what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that would be easier to do it, I guess, you know, with my wife before I did that with my parents, for instance. Yeah, but you know, when you say overwhelming, I don't have a feeling of being overwhelmed. But I don't know, maybe it's more in my mind in terms of just thinking. It's more of a logical aspect of me that's saying, I don't know if that every day there's going to be, during the holidays, where not having that any experience, you know, that we've communicated that in that way before.
How does don't worry, be happy check to discern other people's experiences? Like, how does it assess how to be with other people?
A lot of it's probably based on past experience and based on what I'm feeling instinctively in the moment.
What are you checking right now? Like, what are you communicating to me?
Right now, I'm just trying to think about the way things, just visualizing what the kind of the style or what contents of communication that I know about in my family. And
yeah. Whose interior are you checking right now?
The only interior I can check right now.
Uh-huh.
It's my own.
Right. How often does Don't Worry, Be Happy check, you know, overtly check other people's interiors?
That's a tough question, because if you say how often does we check other people's interiors, I say I do a lot, you know, say how are you doing and what's up and what's going on, but when Don't Worry, Be Happy shows up, that's a particular time, right? And I mean, Don't Worry, Be Happy shows up when in the topic, related to the topic. So, mm-hmm. So when Don't Worry, Be Happy shows up, I guess he isn't necessarily checking with other people's interiors that much, because he shows up when he wants to, you know, when I want to move on something else, typically.
Susan, I thought it was interesting that you asked Wee what he was checking in the moment with you. At this point, were you trying to help him witness how Don't Worry, Be Happy might be showing up in his interactions with you as coach? To me, it sounds a little bit like he's hesitating in trying to answer your questions. What was up at that point for you?
Yes. So several things are coming up for me here. So first, remember, I approach coaching conversations with beginner's mind. So primarily, it was important for me to understand Hui's challenge with the practice. And what is the actual challenge? So we design practices as drafts because many variables might necessitate altering it in some way. And as you're perceiving from the clips and as you'll continue to, practice design is a co-creative process. Okay? So it's up to me then to help clients tease out if and how their current ways of being might be advocating for changes that actually defeat the integrity of the learning opportunity. At the same time, I depend upon my clients' feedback to help me continually evaluate the extent to which I'm honoring their current capacity to work at a certain pace and scale.
So Hui's response puzzled me at first. Since he was going to do this practice prior to going home for the holidays, my intention was to help him build his somatic and interpersonal muscles in low-risk situations, to actually get him to check into other people's interiors in low-risk situations. And so low-risk would mean not family of origin, not mom, dad, sister, brother. So
right.
This experience might then translate into his being more confident and capable by the time he goes home with his family, so he can maybe engage them, but still in low-risk ways. Low-risk because relationship building involves baby steps. It really takes time. So for Hui to just notice when and how and why Don't Worry, Be Happy shows up with his family, that alone would signify an impressive developmental move on his part. But as I listened to Hui's concerns, I realized that he was hearing me ask him to go straight into his family's deepest, darkest cave and stir things up, like to really break the family code. And that's not what my intention was by any means.
Yeah.
So we explored how Don't Worry, Be Happy might be filtering what I actually offered, so as to challenge. How Don't Worry, Be Happy might be filtering what I actually offered so as to challenge the practice's validity and thereby reduce Hui's discomfort. So certainly, as you saw here, in addition to the practices, the coaching relationship itself is a crucible in which clients build new muscles in their topic. So by inviting Hui's participation and by my looking at and looking as Hui, I feel we reached an agreement that ultimately served his needs. That was my hope.
Yeah. No, I get that. So you then continue to explore with Hui when he is interacting with his family. You know, has he ever asked about the challenges they may be having? And Hui responds that he hasn't done so to date, but also adds, which I thought was critical, that he will never know whether it would help unless he tries. You then talk to him about the framing of those questions he could ask, and you even get into some actual language he might use, and Hui connects with what you're saying. So I want to listen to that pre-recorded clip where all that happens.
So the thing that comes up for me now is basically like, so maybe there's a different way of framing the question, or maybe there's a range of, maybe a certain intention of what I would say as opposed to exactly what I would say each day.
Exactly.
You know, so
right.
maybe there's a direction
right.
you can give in terms of, okay, what is it to dive, you know, one level deeper than I typically dive, right? So it's like if I just said, are you concerned about anything today? Is there anything I can support you with? Doesn't necessarily feel like that. Maybe there's something else in terms of saying, I don't know what it is. Maybe there's, you know, what have you been thinking about? Or, I don't know, maybe there's some other things that...
Yeah. So part of the intention setting, perhaps when I first offered you the two questions, you were saying that it feels like a big stretch to start to imagine the deep sea diver having the intention for the purpose. But part of the intention setting involves asking yourself, what is it that you want to explore while diving alongside others? Or maybe it's, what do I want to explore? Do I want to just stick my foot into their waters a little bit and get used to their temperature as opposed to like totally diving in? And so it allows you to play with that level of risk that you want to take on that day.
Okay, then therefore, then how does that correlate to the question I ask?
For example, if it's someone that you have a history with that you trust a little bit more, you might be able to just say, hey, is there a particular, what challenge are you facing today? Maybe it's a routine thing that you talk about challenges. Whereas with someone else, maybe it's simply saying, is there something that I can help you with right now? Maybe it's a task of some kind that you're noticing.
So that's what I was offering then. So that would be helpful then, is to know that so there's a range in the practice then.
Absolutely, sure. Yeah. Yeah, because the practice is about getting curious about what it's like to explore others' caves, right? So there's a range of how the diver explores. He doesn't want necessarily go all the way into the cave with other people, especially not right off the bat. We're allowing you to build a muscle of finding out what it's like to just tap into another person's experience in that moment.
It's asking you to just come out and be able to ask a question, to put yourself into the space first, rather than holding back so much.
Okay.
And so as you do this practice then, and remember, low-risk situations up front before you go home. And even there, it can stay low-risk. You'll have a sense of that. But in the evening, after you set your intention in the morning and then you interact with a person during the day that feels appropriate, at the end of the day, I'd like for you to just answer a few questions in your journal. I'd ask for you to just note what occurred for you energetically as you held eye contact with that person. Remember, we wanted to know energetically if you're feeling like you're shifting toward that person or away. Just note that.
Okay.
And then note down what you felt pulled to do. Where were you pulled to go? And I'd like for you to then just answer, how did this energetic pull impact this relationship with this person in that moment?
So we, Susan's suggestion that you could use a variety of framing for your questions seems to make sense to you. Did you feel at this point, as this final session is winding down, that you had some, you know, practical suggestions of how you were going to show up differently with your family?
Yes, I certainly felt, based on that last interaction, that I had a better feel for some of the opportunity or the options that I would be able to employ with my family interactions. And there was a sense of what I was starting to get at that point was, as opposed to this kind of staying at the surface or trying to stick to, you know, what's more enjoyable types of conversations, there's more of an intention that I bring in terms of, okay, well, what's underneath the surface? And how can I be of service, or how could I help? And, for instance, I think we even talked about, like, with my mom, it might be, oh, is there anything I can do to help you in the kitchen right now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
yeah.
So with my sister, it might be, oh, can I, you know, hold the baby while you and, you know, my brother-in-law eat dinner for a while first? So it's just, you know, there's many different opportunities. It doesn't always have to be a, you know, direct head-first dive into, you know, what's your biggest challenge and how can I help you? And so that did give me a better sense of the possibilities. And also, of course, Susan pointing out that I can practice now. So I've been practicing with my wife and even trying with my daughter. And so that's that kind of helped me to be able to build some momentum as I, you know, get closer to going home for the holidays. And so, yeah, but I was feeling good that, you know, for me what's important is, okay, it's, you know, I could see something to do, and so I was starting to get a sense of what that might be.
Yeah. Yeah, I could certainly relate to sort of those situations. I remember this is, for those of us that are old enough, pre-dishwashers. My mom used to ask me to wash dishes with her dry or do something like that. And then, you know, and looking back on, of course, we had to do the dishes, but really what happened in those moments is there were chances for her to check in with me and me to sort of talk with her while we were, not directly, but while we were doing something else. And that always, I look back on those and remember those with some fondness, you know. So, Susan, at this point, you close out the session with a reminder that we just heard regarding, we has to answer the questions you've given him in his journal. And this was the last time you got to coach we before he goes home for the holidays. I guess this is the big question. How are you feeling about his chances for success at this point?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so first let's revisit his topic. It states, I want to engage my parents and siblings in conversations that open up new possibilities for relating authentically, where I'm revealing more of myself and I'm deepening my understanding of them. So in these first three coaching conversations, Hui's already made significant developmental strides, particularly in recognizing how, when, and why Don't Worry, Be Happy arises. And at the same time, these last two clips allow us to really respect that Hui has yet to build all of the muscles that would enable him to go home for the holidays as the fully embodied deep sea diver of others' interiors. The practice he just received is designed to cultivate essential capacities for this new way of being. So at this point, I'm confident that
he can and will be more conscious about choosing to be present with his family rather than withdrawn. And my hunch is that he'll even initiate more conversations, even if they tend to be light. And as I said earlier, relationship building takes time, especially when it comes to altering those deeply, deeply ingrained family dynamics. But more importantly, at this point, I'm interested in learning from Hui what he hopes for himself at this juncture, given what he's learned thus far.
Right. So, Hui, let me turn to you. I mean, there's Susan there. That this third and final session of this coaching process occurred, roughly about 2 weeks ago. So at the end of this session, you had shared with Susan that you were tired and we really needed some time to reflect on everything that had come up during the coaching process, which certainly is completely understandable. But now that you've had some time to reflect, and I'm assuming practice a bit of what Susan offered you with your immediate family, so here's the question for you. How are you feeling as you head off for the holidays?
Well, one of the things I notice is that, as I mentioned in the past, I would go home and have an intention of showing up differently. And now going through this process, what I'm recognizing is that intention was more of a, what I might call a cognitive intention, like, okay, I'm recognizing that, you know, I'm not showing up as fully as I'd like. There's a contrast between how I'm able to show up with my friends, my wife, my colleagues, as opposed to how I show up with my family, and so it all makes sense that I would like to show up more fully with my family. But now there's a deeper sense, and I feel like I'm able to more tap into the longing that I have to really connect with my family, and even a sense of sadness that I have that I have been unable to do that. And so that has given me sort of a deeper motivation, and I feel like I'm able to access more more presence, hopefully, in the midst of the family dynamics. And the other thing is that with the practices and the awareness, I feel like I've been able to start already recognizing some of the patterns. And even though, as you heard in our interaction, sometimes it's only after the fact that I recognize it and I go, oh, that's what was happening. And then I can come back and, occasionally I might be able to recognize it in the moment. And so I feel like that gives me a little bit more confidence in that not only will I have an intention to be different, that I can go back and actually have some, new capacity to actually be different. And given all that, I must also admit that there's a little bit of apprehensiveness in me in terms of, oh, am I really going to be able to do this? And really, I think perhaps even a little bit of fear of, well, what if they don't get me? Or what if it's not received well?
Yeah.
And what if it doesn't do any good? And so I must admit there's some of that underneath as well. And but hey, I have a lot of motivation because I know we have a show afterwards, after the holiday.
Yeah.
So extra motivation for me.
Well, we want to thank you for being so courageous and offering your story for all of us to reflect on as we explore, what we want in our interactions with our families over the holidays. And I'm sure that I speak for everybody that we just wish you well with your visit. And as you said, we can't wait for you to come back and tell us after the holidays how that all went. Any final thoughts for the audience before you go?
Well, I'd just like to thank Susan, my wonderful coach, and thank you as well, David, for this great opportunity to be able to share my process with our community. And I'd also like to wish everyone listening a wonderful Christmas, and I hope that they all have gained something that valuable from this journey that we've all been on together, and that their holidays has even just a little bit more joy, a little bit more love and connection this year.
Well, well said. And Susan, thank you for all the coaching insights that you've shared with us, with we and all of us, really. I mean, I know that you've given me a great deal to reflect on that certainly is going to help me have a great holiday with my family. So thank you for that.
And if I might add, I have thoroughly enjoyed working with you, Hui, and David, and I'm very eager to hear how things go when you come back. And I also just want to thank the audience for being with us in this time, in whatever holiday you celebrate or potentially don't over this season. I'm really hoping that this serves you. And Hui, I'd like to just offer you, if you are feeling challenged to stay present, maybe start thinking in advance how you can stay connected to that intention and really support yourself, and potentially not even just support yourself, like from within your own energy, but what kind of supports can you maybe draw upon from your wife or even your children or your friends during this time, okay?
Yeah, I might give you a call.
I was going to offer that.
Not a bad idea.
I'm here.
Not a bad idea. And Susan, I'm going to meet you back here next week at the same time when you and I are going to, we're going to open up this teleseminar to the audience stories that we've chosen to highlight. Next week, we're also going to have time to answer all the questions and observations that have been piling up over these last 2 weeks as you've been coaching Hui. So to those of you in the audience, if you have a question or thought that you would like Susan and I to address next week, get them in before next Tuesday's show. One thing I would really be interested in is, based on what you all have heard in these three coaching sessions between Hui and Susan, what do you think is going to happen when Hui goes home for the holidays and actually interacts with his family members? I'd love to have some feedback from all of you about what you think. We certainly have heard what Susan and Hui have to think about that. And also, don't forget to download the Integral Coaching Practice for this week. Go to the Integral Life homepage at www.integrallife.com and click on the Home for the Holidays medallion, and you'll find the practice on the show page with everything else that you need. And lastly, for those of you that are vying for those three Integral Coaching sessions, the prize that for the contest, we need you to submit your stories by the end of this week, this Friday, December 11th. The three semifinalists will be notified during the week, and then we will share and discuss their written stories with all of you during show 4. So I'm David Reardon, and I just want to thank you all for joining us tonight. Thank you to Hui and Susan. As always, over these last 3 weeks, it's just been fascinating. And we will see all of you next week when Susan and I open this up to the audience story.
I'll be home for Christmas. You can plan on me. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents on the tree. Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams. I'll be home for Christmas.